Welcome back to Bullseye on the Afternoon on AM 930 WEOL and 100.3 FM. Hard to believe that we're a few weeks into the NFL season. Week 4 will kick off tomorrow night, and we return to the hotline now to bring in Fox 8's very own John Telich on our Budweiser's From the Sidelines segment presented by North Ridgeville Convenience in Oco. JT, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing pretty good, my friend, and looking forward to see how these guys do on the road in Baltimore, a divisional game. It's going to be very interesting.
Well, what's also become extraordinarily interesting, too, is the fire that Freddie Kitchens is under right now. People thinking maybe he shouldn't be calling the plays, but it's certainly at least become enough of an issue that it's become a pretty big conversation piece around town. He's mentioned that he's not going to relinquish those play calling duties. How much of that do you think plays a huge role moving forward?
Yeah, I think first of all, I got to give credit to my buddy Pat McManaman, who's now writing about the Browns from The Athletic, that paid subscription service, which I think is a pretty good thing. And he quoted Rudyard Kipling, the quote about, you know, you have to keep your head while all around you are kind of losing theirs. And I think we saw a little bit of that on Sunday night with Freddie, especially late in the game where they got the ball down there, and everybody's talked about the situation where they had the ball on the 4-yard line with 3 timeouts and they elected to throw on every play. And I think that's part and parcel to Freddie just, you know, a lot of things kind of hitting him at once and him knowing that he's got to do a better job of putting these guys in winnable situations. But there were just a lot of things that were kind of puzzling on the night, whether it was a bunch of guys going on go routes and not many short-term receiver answers for Baker in case he got in trouble. So Freddie's got to up the ante here, and he's really got to prove that he can handle not just calling the plays and being the way he was a year ago, but being able to call the plays and then maintain his head while all around him are going crazy, thus the Kipling quote. And he has to do that while juggling those two aspects of being head coach and also the play caller guy. So a lot of pressure on this man, and he signed up for it, and he knows full well that's the deal.
Absolutely, and he's certainly not the only guy that is under fire right now. Baker Mayfield, I think it's safe to say the honeymoon period is certainly over, but, you know, he's also come under fire over the last few weeks as well. I think fans certainly expect a lot more from him as well. There are some things you can certainly pick apart in his game, but one of the things that stands out about Baker Mayfield as far as the criticisms go seems like he's been hanging on to the ball a little bit too long.
Yeah, he has, and I think you got to give credit to Wade Phillips, the defensive coordinator of the Rams on Sunday night, for what he did. He would pretty much have his two defensive tackles playing 3 techniques, so there was an avenue up. You've probably seen the freeze frames of the final play of the game where there was that avenue where he could probably run the ball, you know, into the end zone for the touchdown. But I think they played with his mind the entire game by having those tackles a little wide, playing 3 technique, and kind of pinching him into the pocket. And I think his decision-making in the pocket and his antsiness in that pocket kind of got to him as the game went on, because what they did then, they would sometimes not just have it so there was the ability for him to step up into the pocket. Sometimes they rushed on the inside, and then it was just messing with his mind. Do I have an avenue on the inside, or can I stay in the pocket and complete passes? So I thought, you know, they messed with him pretty well, and I think he'd be the first guy to admit that. And he's just got to do a better job of recognizing, keeping his cool under fire, and then getting rid of that football. But again, for another week here, there were instances where he just kept his hand on that football a little bit too long before getting rid of it.
Do you think at some point this becomes an issue with the relationship with his receivers? I know Odell Beckham Jr. is a guy we're all really excited about for all the obvious reasons, but the yards after catch, certainly something that stood out to you in his performance against the Rams.
Yeah, he needs to be better at that. Now, you can also go back and look at the Jets game when OBJ had the ultimate in yards after the catch when he caught that quick one over the middle and took it to the house 89 yards. But there have been very few instances where the receivers have caught the ball and then have had room to operate. So that indicates to you that they're getting further down the route tree, and Baker's holding onto the ball a little bit more, and that gives the defender the chance to be there. So there haven't been opportunities for these guys to get the ball, make a move, possibly make somebody miss, and make a huge play. So it comes back down to getting rid of that football just a little bit quicker, and then not having these routes that kind of, at the end of the game, you actually saw some routes that kind of banged into one another and just created like a cluster, as opposed to clear separation from the receiver and the defensive back.
All of this factors in to low point production for the Cleveland Browns, and that's certainly not something I think that we expected to be discussing almost a quarter of the way through the season. But right now, the point production tied for last in the division with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Now, they have an excuse because they, of course, don't have their quarterback in Ben Roethlisberger, but the Browns at this point, well, I think you can say they have some excuses, but maybe not as many as legitimate as missing your starting quarterback. That's what the Steelers are hanging their hat on right now.
Yeah, in fact, I also think some of the other ways that the Browns could be a little bit more productive is running the football in the direction that they've been strong. They were stronger in the previous game running that football to one side of the field, and then on Sunday they ran 13 out of 23 of their snaps to the side of the field that they were not that effective with. So that gets back again to the play calling, being smarter as far as that is concerned. Being opportunistic, they had two big situations on Sunday where they had the turnover and they did not make something out of it. I think after Myles Garrett had that strip sack, the Browns got the ball back, and then they just, I believe, had to just settle for a field goal as opposed to scoring something. The red zone capabilities this year versus what we saw in weeks 9 through 16 when Freddie took over is not what it was. So there's a lot of things that are going in here. And again, we're now going into week 4 of the season. Their preseason's over. Their early part of the season that you could even say that's kind of like the preseason as well, that's over. So again, it's the tired old cliche bowl, put up or shut up. Just get it done.
We are being joined by Fox 8's very own John Telich on our Budweiser's From the Sideline segment presented by North Ridgeville Convenience Sunoco. One of the standout performances on Sunday night certainly centered around the defense, many forms and fashions in which that unit played particularly well. You know, a depleted secondary, but that certainly didn't seem to affect the Browns as much. And more importantly, JT, Myles Garrett with no flags on him on Sunday.
I thought that was huge because we discussed with him in the locker room during the middle of the week last week about that fine line. I asked him about the fine line that you've got to play with being super aggressive and then obviously not being too aggressive where you get a penalty on you for being, you know, offsides, or obviously the penalties where you're roughing the passer. And so, you know, another good game by Myles Garrett and a clean one, no laundry on the field. That was good to see. And also other people on the defense. I can't say enough about what the defense did when you have an entire defensive backfield. When you're literally flying in one of the guys who's starting for you on Sunday, you're flying him in on Friday afternoon. He's getting a crash course on the defense, even though I know he was part of the team previously and had been cut in Justin Burris. And yet you get that performance by all of those guys. That was pretty commendable. Schobert being Schobert, I think he's a real good player. He showed it again on Sunday. And then Mac Wilson, his first start thrown in there. He did, I believe, allow 4 passes to be completed against him, but he almost had an interception. And there's something there, obviously a lot that we can see for growth for a young player like Mac Wilson.
And that linebacking group, we figured would be interesting coming into the season, thinking that maybe there'd be a little bit of a youth infusion. You know, Kirksey going down with that torn pectoral muscle, it certainly added a different wrinkle that a lot of folks certainly weren't expecting the Browns to have to deal with. But the linebacking group on the whole, has looked pretty good. Mac Wilson certainly did okay, but as you pointed out to me a little bit earlier today, he did give up a few completions, and while he has shown some flashes not only through the regular season but also in the preseason, this is still a rookie with a lot of work to be done.
A lot of work to be done, but I think there's a lot there, and obviously we're going to see a lot of him because Kirksey's going to be gone for a long, long time. And just continue that, the growth that he's going to have. You also mentioned the infusion of young linebackers. We know, Taki was dealing with injuries. He's way back in the developmental curve. And, of course, Schobert being Schobert this year, playing at, I think, at kind of a Pro Bowl kind of a level, they're going to have him on the field for a whole ton of snaps. And a lot of times they only do play those two linebackers when they've got the five defensive backs and then the four guys up in front. So in those two, they got pretty good performances on Sunday. And I think what was really impressive was that defensive backfield room is a very active one and a very cohesive one. And these guys really do look out for each other. And one of their big leaders is T.J. Carey. He had an interception on Sunday. He was thrown in to start as, of course, all four of the starters were out with injuries. And they have a real good thing going there in their defensive backfield room. So that's a good thing to see. That's the back end of the defense being able to make plays and turn the football over, which they did with two interceptions. That's commendable, and I'm sure they plan on that kind of work going forward. But they also want to have their frontline guys back from injury as well.
Turning our attention now to this coming Sunday, this is a big one. No question about that, because if you're trying to put yourself on the map, well, this is one of those games that you have to find a way to win. That defense that we just discussed, JT, they are really going to be tested against the Ravens. They've scored a lot of points this season, and Lamar Jackson is one of those guys that is really starting to turn some heads.
He sure is, and I think he's worked on his mechanics of delivering the football. He's shown more poise to look downfield and to make the throws, and he's doing it. If you look at his rating, it's at like 100, almost 114, fifth in the league. Absolutely outstanding. So you look at the development of this guy as a passer and as a leader. Those two elements are getting better and better. And then he's always had that escapability, that scare the bejabbers out of the defensibility that he has once he's in the open field with that football. Scored on Sunday in their game against the Chiefs, where it was a case where he did bail out, couldn't find anybody. They were fairly close to the goal line, and he took off with his feet, used his legs, his ability to make people miss, got into the end zone. That's very innate for him to do. What wasn't as innate was the throwing of the football being composed in the pocket, and we're seeing more and more of that. So I think a lot of people scratched their heads. They figured this guy would be dead by week three or four of the season because of all the running he's doing. He's doing the running at a more judicious level as opposed to just taking off and going crazy like he seemed to be doing more last year.
What kinds of problems do you think that Raven defense could pose? Because, this is a different Raven team. No question about that. I mean, this defensive line used to be one of the absolute best in football. What kinds of problems do you think that entire unit could pose to the Browns offense?
Well, I think first and foremost what you hit on, they don't have Suggs. They don't have Smith anymore. Those guys are gone via free agency, so they don't get as much pressure up front as they did in the past. So I know the Browns' offensive line has been under siege. They've been playing, backup at right tackle in place of Chris Hubbard, who was hurt, so you have to check on his availability. They've been playing, they've been having trouble just protecting Baker in some instances early in the season as well, so they've kind of come under fire. So this could be a week where, with not as much pressure on Baker, that he's able to be a little bit more composed, ding, 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 get rid of the football quick and move the guys down the field. So I think they have an opportunity against this defense to do that. They're still a type of a defense that wants to be ball hawking and all of those types of things. But with that defensive line not as structured as it was in the past to just go after the quarterback and kill him, that opens up an aspect where maybe Baker and the offense can kind of catch their breath and be a little bit better moving the football down the field and not the knocking drives out that have potential halfway through them.
Couple of quick questions here before we get into the high school football coverage for the weekend. You know, as far as the effect of a win or a loss in this game, I think we all know the effect of a win. It would do a lot for the psyche of this team because it would essentially put them in the driver's seat in this division. And I think a loss, while it wouldn't be detrimental, it puts them in a really tough spot because this is the beginning of a stretch here, or I should say it's more like in the middle of a stretch here where they play some really good teams.
Yeah, it's kind of a that's why I'm so interested to see how they compete this week. First of all, they competed like crazy on Sunday night. Fantastic atmosphere. Browns fans are the best in the world. It was just absolutely electric down at the stadium, and with the Clay Matthews thing at halftime, that was even greater. And so you had, you know, the fan base just excited for these guys to really turn it up and have a tremendous performance. And that's where, you know, the onus is going to be on them. Now they're on the road. Then they've got to go out west and play a game. Then they come home for Seattle. Then they've got the Patriots. And it just does not get any easier. And the only breaks that they get with their schedule, I think, Bull, is really when you start to look at the back half of the season, weeks 9 or 10, if you will, because they're going to have a bye soon. Weeks 10 through 16, 17, that would be when they, you know, have an opportunity to catch their breath. But it's going to be tough. And right now, you just can't sit back and say, well, that's a win. You're just trying to get more of a handle on what this team can do.
Yes, Sunday's a measuring stick game for sure for this club. There's no doubt about that. JT, we are coming up on the halfway point in the high school football season. Very, very tough to believe. The computer ratings were released by the OHSAA yesterday. We'll get into some of that more next week after we're halfway through the season. But where are you going to be this Friday?
This Friday I've got a couple of games. I'm going to be out east. Kirtland will be hosting Wycliffe. And I saw Kirtland last week. That was the game that was voted as the Friday night touchdown game of the week. And they played their rival, Cuyahoga Heights, and they kind of handled them. They have got a real solid team again this year. And it's going to be interesting, too, Bowl, to see how far they can go in the playoffs if Division Five is going to be that much more of a difficult road to go down for them versus Division Six that they were in past time. So we'll see what happens there. We hop over to Willoughby South and see what they can do. Now, last week, I thought I saw Cleveland Heights. Cleveland Heights is a pretty good team, and Cleveland Heights was able to handle the Lake Catholic Cougars. That was pretty impressive to see. And I think this week, you know, with people, with Mentor running up the huge score that they did last week against, I think it was Elyria, was 73-0?
Yep.
Yeah, they look really good. So Mentor, I believe, is number one in the AP poll this week in Division One, correct? And Kirtland is number one in the D5 poll. So those are legit teams. I'm still wondering how people shake down comparing Akron Hoban in Division Two to some of the other teams downstate. I see some of the downstate teams jumped over Hoban and are, I think, 1-2 with Hoban being 3 in Division Two. So that's kind of curious. I still think Hoban's the best team in the state of Ohio. And I give St. Ignatius tons of credit for what they did 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, going to be a lot of fun to discuss that moving forward. Always fun to see the OHSAA computer ratings released for the first time. But next week, we will be officially halfway through that high school season, so we'll have a lot more to talk about then as well. And, of course, we will rehash the Ravens-Browns at the same time. JT, as always, my friend, a pleasure to speak with you, and we look forward to doing it again next week.
Sounds good. I'll talk to you then, Bull. Have a good week, bud.
Thank you, John. You do the same. That's John Telich, Fox 8's very own, joining us here on the Budweiser's From the Sidelines segment presented by North Ridgeville Convenience Sunoco. Time for us to step aside and take a break here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. We will come back with more fun and excitement after this here on AM 930 WEOL and 100.3 FM.